Now this morning, I want to conclude my comments, and I'm going to tell you what my burden is. My burden is that I will not carelessly redirect the conviction. We want the conviction to maintain the same direction. And I've said to God, Lord, I won't even preach. I'll quit in 3 minutes or 30 minutes. Whenever you have us where we need to be, please let me know that. And don't anybody resist the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. All right? Open to James chapter 1. And while you're looking for that, I've got my tapes back out there on the front pew. If you want anything, get it. Put the money in the basket over there and join my tape club. I have a tape club where I'll send you a tape every month with two sermons on it. Don't turn in any money. Just put your name and address on that piece of paper over there. All right? Now, let me talk to you about this business of deception. Why does deception occur? Now, why does it occur? If you will listen to me and accept what the Bible says, I promise you, you are going to be way ahead in this business of making sure that the enemy does not get an advantage of you. Listen to verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. I heard somebody say one time, there's nothing God can't do. Yes, there is. He can't lie, and he can't be tempted with evil, and he can't break one of his promises. Oh, no, no. A lot of things God can't do. But this can't-ness is self-imposed. God has put this limitation on himself, and the reason he did it, so you and I can relate to it and get to know him a lot better. If there were not limitations self-imposed on God, we would not be able to relate to him in the way that God wants us to relate. Now listen. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now here's the verse that you better pay attention to. But every man is tempted. Now that means not the appearance or the occurrence of temptation, but the validity and the effect of temptation. That's what he's talking about. But man is tempted with evil when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, enticed means you developed an interest in that lure. Enticed means I haven't cared about what the other temptations have been. Ah, but I like this one. And just like that bass, there is in the collection of lures that belongs to the devil one that at any given time will be intriguing and enticing to you. And he may run a lure by you that you're not interested in now, but 1 month later run the same collection of lures by you and you'll be interested in a different one. Now why? Because you're going to have to understand what he meant when he said a man is enticed and tempted by his own lust. Now that word lust needs to be understood. That is not a word that has to do with strong, overpowering desires. The word lust there is a very weak Greek word. The Greek word is epithumia. And what that literally means is just selfish desire. Folks, we've got the idea that we're safe, protected, invulnerable, as long as we don't have knock-down desires for pornography or adultery or drinking or drugs, and we want to categorize this thing and come to the false notion, which is the beginning of deception, these bad conclusions I talked to you about that are based on assumptions, when we begin to decide that deception has to do with major illnesses in the soul. No, that's not the way it comes. Bill is right. Listen to him. All of it, I'll go further than he will. All of it is the result of compromise. See, you can compromise in your conceptions. You can compromise in your conclusions. You can compromise, listen, in your considerations. And when you compromise in your considerations, the only thing to do is to give in to the lust of the flesh. Now, let me tell you what epithumia means. Let me tell you what happens when you are enticed with a temptation. You are drawn away of your own epithumia. Now, what that literally means is this. When you get to the place that you are giving consideration to your own selfish desires, you allow for the drawing away. Now, to be drawn, there has to be a force field. There cannot be any drawing without a force field. And God said, when you feel a force on you of evil, it is not me ever, never. Don't make a mistake. It is never me that is drawing you away. Well, there's only two force fields. One is the devil and one is God. One is good, one is evil. God said, I'm not having anything to do with it at all. And so when you feel an enticement or a lure is getting your attention, it is because of evil. But you've got to understand, you're not innocent. You're not innocent. When there is a force brought to bear on you, it is because of your epithumia. It is because of your selfish desires. It is because you have allowed for an option to be there. And the option being there is an opportunity for the enemy to deceive you. Let me prove it to you. Well, Bill's already acknowledged that he's got some weaknesses. Bill's already acknowledged that he's tempted. Well, watch this. Bill, do you still have to fight to keep from drinking? Do you fight to keep from going by the pornographic literature? Do you fight going and getting some heroin? You say, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. You never even are tempted with things that you have settled in your mind you're not going to do anymore. And the only arena wherein you are tempted are in those arenas where you have not settled it. I will make no provision for the flesh. I will not do it. And the thing you don't understand is this. When you came to that conclusion, you began to make that list of things that you are not going to do anymore. And the only reason you still are tempted and mess up every now and then, you don't put that on your list. Now, see, I understand why it's quiet in here. See, I understand why that we're not responding with zeal. Because God has backed us into a corner. Now, let me tell you something. Here's why that we're vulnerable to these temptations. I'm going to give you three things right quickly, and I'm going to give you two more areas of deception. Convenient conclusions. That's number one. Convenient conclusions. It is amazing how seldom, are you listening? It's amazing how seldom I hear people talk about the difficulty and the burden of their righteousness. I seldom ever hear anybody talking about the victory of accomplishment. I seldom hear anybody talking about how hard it is to do right. I hear people always talking about the joy of the Lord. Well, I've got news for you. You discipline yourself to do right. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, it's like dragging 100-pound weight around all day long because your flesh don't like it. And there's a struggle and a battle going on. And you can find out where you are with God by self-examination to see if there are areas in your life that are causing conflict, and you've got your fist doubled up and your teeth gritted and your jaw jutted and your back bowed and your neck stiffened, and you have said, I am not going to give in to that wicked temptation. That is a battle. And if you don't have that going on in your life, I got news for you. Your conclusions have been conclusions of convenience. You're welcome. Secondly, the reason we get deceived is because we have unguarded options which produce opportunities for the enemy. Unguarded options. You know what I'm talking about? Have you come to the conclusion that there are things in your life that is just left up to your choice? Have you really come to realize that it's up to you? See, God wants you to love Him and serve Him because you love Him. God wants you to say no to evil because you like righteousness better than evil. God wants you to walk away from your option to sin because there's more delight in your heart to do right. God wants you to take full responsibility for the option of evil or good. He wants you to take full responsibility of that. And you know what we find God's people do? Oh, God, set me free. Oh, God, deliver me. Oh, God, take away this desire for cigarettes. Oh, God, take away my desire to lust. Oh, God, do something with my mind. Oh, God, I want you to cause me to quit lusting after women. Oh, God, I want you to give me victory over this particular sin. Well, you know what God is saying to you? I already did that through Jesus Christ. I already did that through the Lordship of my Son. And the only reason you don't have victory is because you want me to do your battling for you, and you've left an open avenue and an option, and therefore you've been deceived. Now, I don't expect you to respond to that, but you better understand what I am telling you. God lays the burden of obligation and responsibility on your discipline. Have you ever noticed we do what we want to do?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever noticed that you'll go weeks and months without any conclusion as to what you ought to do about a certain thing, but when you come to a decision, it's because you have made the decision, and that's what you want to do. You do what you want to do. And if it's not in your heart to do right, if it's not in your mind to resist the flesh, if it's not in your heart to conduct yourself in your lifestyle in a way that Jesus would always be comfortable with you, you're going to waffle all the time. Unguarded option. But there's a third thing now, and that's irreversible conditions. Now, you better hear what I'm going to tell you at this point. You cannot reverse your failure in your yesterdays. Now, Jack gave a testimony last night of having gotten into a ministry that led him down a blind path. I know all about what he's speaking in regard to him, to himself. Now, Jack could not come to a conclusion at the end of those 5 years ministry, make a decision that reversed the previous 5 years. All he could do was make a decision that protected the next 5 years. Yeah. And that's what you did. And you've got to live with that. We've got to live with every one of our mistakes.
Right.
We've got to live with everything we've messed up on. You can't grieve it out of existence. You can't have enough shame to overcome it. The only thing you can do is build. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for grace. I just had a chill run through me. All you can do is just build a reservoir of immediacy that is greater than the cesspool of your yesterday. That's all in the world you can do. So don't be deceived. Now, let me show you two arenas wherein we are being deceived, and I do not believe God wants me to amplify it. In fact, I'm going to get it done as quickly as I can. We are deceived when our speech is out of control. See, out of the heart flow the issues of life. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, taught us that what comes out of your mouth originated in your heart. And I've had people say, well, you know, I didn't really mean that. I was upset. Well, that's when you really say what you really mean. I mean, how I feel about my wife is revealed what I say to her when I'm aggravated, not when I'm thrilled to death with her behavior. Hello? Now, what you say when you get shook up and what you say under pressure is the real you. In that very same chapter, now I want you to listen to verse 26. Listen to James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and does not bridle, and you know what a bridle is for, don't you? You know why you put a bridle on the head of a horse with a bit in it? A bridle has a bit on it. You know why that's in there? Because you can then bring that animal under control. Now that's what he's talking about here. You need to learn to control your tongue, because if you don't bridle your own tongue, watch it, you have deceived your own heart. This man's religion is in vain. Now think about what Jesus said. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. James, under the control of the Holy Spirit, said, if your tongue is not bridled, there's something wrong with your heart. It's not your mouth that's deceived. It's not your mind that's deceived. It is your heart that is deceived. And the psalmist talked about how that God was vexed with his people because their heart was set on doing wrong. Folks, you can get so deceived. You can be a Bible toter. You can be a 100%er. I mean, you can be using your talents. You can be given your money, but if your heart is not right, you've been deceived. Now, I'm going to tell you what ought to be going on in everybody's heart right now. Oh, God, am I deceived? Well, why have you not been bugging God about that? Why have you not every day of your life said to the Lord, God, search me, know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me? Why are you not doing that every day? I'm going to tell you why. Because you're so deceived, you trust the flesh, and you make a judgment on your present behavior instead of on your present condition. I just said more than y'all realize. Get the tape and listen to that and shut it off. When you get to that point and sit down before God, say, okay, here I am, Lord. Expose me. Reveal to me what you know about me. Now that's not a bad experience. That's not bad. Because as God is revealing to you the kind of a person you really are, he is also just bringing billows and waves of mercy and goodness and kindness and transformation to make you what you ought to be. Guard your speech. And then the last one, and this is so important. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Oh my God, help us to let this really take hold. Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse 7. Be not deceived. Now, if God said don't be deceived before he says something, that means it's not only possible but prevalent that you can and are be deceived and deceiving. You understand that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, whatever he's getting ready to talk about, if it occurs, is a mockery to God. God will not be mocked. And here's what it is. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to your flesh, you shall reap corruption from your flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap the essence of life everlasting. That's what he's saying. And here's the thing about this. Contrary to what you may believe, this was not a negative statement. This was a positive statement with a negative downside. The positivistic aspect of the statement is this. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Now listen, friend. You can be deceived in regard to the positive good things in your future as well as the negative hidden snakes in your future. What Paul is saying here is this. I know it's tough. I know you're having a hard time. I know you're getting knocked down every time you turn around. Well, don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Don't you know that you're going to reap what you sow? But now be aware of the fact, if you reap to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. And what Paul is saying is, what you guys are doing, you are sowing to the Spirit, not the flesh. Now, beloved, you can easily get to the understanding. You forget the reality of the fact that if you don't grow weary in well-doing, you're going to have a harvest come in one of these days that's going to cause you to run and shout and have a glorious good time. Now let me conclude with this comment. You have never rejoiced over evil. You have never had a fit and a spell over doing wrong. You have never thrown a party because you goofed up and violated the word of God. You have never rejoiced over having done evil. You know what people tell me who have committed adultery? They tell me that within 5 seconds after it's over, they begin to grieve. Do you know what people tell me who are pornographic addicts? They tell me that uncontrollable urge gets a hold of them and they seek to satisfy that insatiable lust. And when it is all over, they feel like a dirty dog. I've had people who have fallen into sin. I've had drunkards come to me and tell me, I'll pull that whiskey out from underneath the seat of my truck and take a slug, and instead of it exhilarating me, the Spirit of God eats my lunch and makes me feel like a dirty dog. You have parties. You have celebrations when you have done right, not when you have done wrong. Be careful. It's a battle. It's a war. You say, well, preacher, I'm telling you, I'm not sure that I like that. Well, nothing you can do about it. Don't be deceived.